It is Tuesday, and that means it is Jeff Darlington Day. He of NFL Network, NFL.com, joining us live in studio this week to go around the National Football League. Coverage around the league presented by Coventry Healthcare. Get the healthcare coverage you need and get more out of life. We've got you covered. Coventry Healthcare. Jeff is on Twitter at Jeff Darlington. As we said, he is also in studio. We're going to try and take some calls maybe for Jeff Darlington if people are interested.
That's dangerous.
1-855-GO-FINS, 1-855-GO-FINS.
In lieu of, I know there have been some personnel changes out on the football field for the Dolphins as well as in the booth. Is Jeff going to be the guy that's going to be battling the Finbot all season long with selections or what? Since I think that's fallen off the map.
I think we put the Finbot in his box and just kind of stuffed him in the closet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we sort of forgot about him, to be honest.
Couple batteries.
Put a tie on him and bring him out and have him battle with Darlington every week.
I'm sure he wins. I don't even know what the Finbot
is. Put him in a bow tie, though.
I take the Finbot.
The Finbot last year made picks up against Dick Stockton every week, and it was the lock of the week. And the Finbot, his thing was always sort of like, oh, I'll take New England over Jacksonville, because he calculated that that was the lock of the week. And
I have an incredible lack of emotion when it comes to picking teams to win.
So did the Finbot.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. No emotion.
So it might be a fair battle.
It would be a very emotionless.
It's great radio is what it would be.
Yeah.
All right. Let's start here. Obviously here today, and you were in the Dolphin locker room. I saw you sitting with Mike Wallace for a little while. You glean anything interesting from that conversation?
Yeah, very interesting stuff. I went over just about every player on the team with him, just kind of picking his brain a little bit. And I would say, I mean, we'll just get down to the most interesting stuff and we can backtrack. But the most interesting stuff was talking to him about after the week one situation. You know, I didn't want to go back to that, but I said, did you feel like this production? First of all, I was surprised that his career high was 9 catches. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I figured at some point with the Steelers, he would have caught 9 balls. And he said, yeah, the difference is I was always running vertical routes there. And I'm not doing that here now this week. And he was running all over the field doing different kinds of routes. And that's the reason for the increase in catches. But the thing that he said was that he had a good talk with Philbin in the middle of last week after that week one situation. And a lot of times players can butt heads with coaches. And when that happens, you'll find them not talking at all and responding. And the shocking part to me is that Philbin actually listened to him. And I said, so did you feel like the game plan changed from week one to two? And he said, yeah, I do. I feel like they used me the way I wanted to be used. And that sort of caught me off guard. I mean, you don't hear that very often where a coach actually like takes something a player says and institutes it immediately. And, you know, I don't know that that will, you know, I don't know if Philbin would agree that he did that because of that. But it just goes to show you that maybe there's a receptive head coach in that office upstairs.
It's nice to see when you get an easy audience to listen to or to talk to, because Coach Philbin, he comes across as, you know, this is my way,
right.
And this is my way.
I was sort of surprised. Yeah.
But I think he is a good listener, because he, at the end of the day, he's got a dynamic wide receiver that was underused against the Cleveland Browns. Now, whether it's vertical routes or under routes or screen, you know, wide receiver screens, to get him the football in certain situations, it can only benefit Ryan Tannehill. Now, I'm not so opposed that Mike Wallace wasn't used against the Cleveland Browns, because other guys ate. Other guys made the game.
Especially on those vertical routes. There's a reason for it.
There was a reason for it. Now, yeah. I just think the game may have set up for Indianapolis that there wasn't the scheme or the – you know, it just set up better for him.
Sure.
And the key for me was, Jeff, they got him involved early. So that made Indianapolis have to cover the entire field, you know, for 60 minutes.
And Wallace's bread and butter is still the vertical route. And we can't deny that, and nor should you, because that you knock the top off the defensive backfield and you open things up in the simplest form for other guys. And I talked to him about Hartline too, and he said, God, Hartline just makes it look so easy. And it's so, and I said, boring. You know, like Hartline just does it so crisp. His routes are so clean and easy. And when you have a guy like that complimenting Wallace doing the things he's doing, I think that does ultimately benefit the team.
You know, getting back to that type of conversation with the coach, I think it depends on how that conversation goes. In other words, if the player's coming in here, you know, I'm pissed,
slamming,
I'm demanding,
his fist on
I'm slammed,
the
this
desk.
Is, you know, this is ridiculous, I didn't get the ball. You know, or you're saying, hey, coach, I just felt uncomfortable and I didn't feel like, you know, here's the things that I feel comfortable doing. And look, I just want to be a part of this team and I want to help us win. I think I can help us win by doing these. I think you're going to get a more receptive coach to that kind of a thing, yeah. Because ultimately you're both paddling in the same direction. You both want to win games. Now, there have been, John, you've been around a lot of receivers. I've been around a lot of receivers, yep, that come in, and it would be that spitting venom and spewing venom, and I did this and I did that and what. And then you've got what you've got is the next day in tapes where the coach is showing, oh, well, hey, well, oh, gee, well, it didn't look like you were running very hard. And then now you've got
headbutts.
Now you've got headbutt. You've got animosity. But evidently, you know, the message delivered from Wallace was received in a positive way by Philbin, where they both said, hey, you know what? You're right.
And you got to be careful with that. But I do wonder now if the one thing that Philbin has, but he's got a little money in the bank. It could go one of two ways. You don't want that happening every time. But from that dynamic, now Wallace, who seems like a pretty cool-headed guy. Yeah. I mean, I don't want people to start comparing him to Brandon Marshall or something like that. It's just different. And now Wallace, next time, if he goes into Philbin's office and does the same thing, and Philbin says, you know, not this time, I wonder if Wallace will be like, all right, because that last time he knew that Philbin had him there, maybe, I don't know where that dynamic goes. This won't be the last time it happens, but it at least feels like there is one thing that really impresses me about John Harbaugh, and you saw it last year about midway through the season, there were guys that were revolting against the way that Harbaugh was coaching. He was putting them into pads too much, and they basically revolted against him in a team meeting. And you can go back and look this up, and Harbaugh all of a sudden had his back against the wall. A lot of times coaches come out, as you guys know, and start they'll butt heads. Harbaugh said, all right, everybody, tell me how you feel, tell me what you're thinking, we're not leaving this room till we clear this up. And they left that room and they went on, and they were motivated, they were on the same page. So it takes a good responsive head coach to be able to do that, and I think that in this case that's what we might have seen between Wallace and Philbin.
Good stuff. Jeff Darlington of the NFL Network is here. Let's Talk Dolphins outside of Mike Wallace and your conversation with him. Jeff will be on Total Access later tonight on NFL Network. You certainly want to check that out. 2-0, and Ryan Tannehill has looked very good.
Yeah.
The defense has looked pretty good, like we expected they would. You're a national guy now. Give us some national perspective from Jeff Darlington on the Miami Dolphins.
I'm so incapable of that. I can't. I still, people on radio shows, what's the national perception of the Dolphins? I can't tell you because I still feel like I know the team too well here. But I'll say that the biggest difference is just that, number one, the defensive secondary coming up with turnovers. I mean, you can be as statistically sound as you want on defense and give up a certain amount of yards, but if you're not turning the ball over, and this is something me and Wallace talked about as it relates to even Pittsburgh and the Steelers, if you're not turning the ball over, like if a team marches down the field and ultimately has to punt, you're still pinned back and have to drive 90 yards on offense. Turning the ball over is about field position too, and that's something the Dolphins have been so incapable of doing. And that's why Brent Grimes is the biggest steal of free agency throughout the entire NFL. You get a guy who can get his hands on the ball and hold that ball in, and that's going to change everything. The defensive front, I believe, is a top five unit in the league and will prove me right by the end of the season. Ryan Tannehill is a franchise quarterback. I wish Dustin Keller were on the field with him because I think that would be just an added dynamic. And Wallace, by the way, mentioned that I said, you feel like Clay can be the replacement. He's like, yes, I do. But the thing that bums me out is not that Clay is the replacement. It's that we would be running five wide receiver sets with Clay and Keller out
easier
on the end.
Clay would be the other guy.
It would be the other guy.
Yeah.
So it would be all sort of, that's what bummed him out. But, you know, I just think that you have a front like that. You've got weapons on offense. If the defense can continue to turn the ball over, that's a big component to their success.
Let's go around the league a little bit with Jeff Darlington of the NFL Network. Bucks and the Patriots on Sunday. Two interesting teams. Obviously,
sure,
Tampa Bay is a little bit of a soap opera right now. The Patriots have not looked good, but they're 2-0, and a couple of teams the Dolphins are going to see in the weeks ahead.
And I don't, with Amendola, looks like Gronk is still more leaning toward doubtful if the reports I'm seeing are correct. So if they don't have Amendola and Gronk again, I don't count the Bucks out of this game. Look, I get the drama there, but I also am going to go back to the fact that first team in NFL history to lose their first two games by a field goal in the final 5 seconds. I mean, how brutally disheartening is that? Now, Shiano is losing his locker room and needs to do something quick, but a win against the Patriots can certainly do that. They seem to be a better team than 0-2. They're capable of beating the Patriots. The Patriots seem like a worse team been 2-0.
Washington is off to an interesting start, 0-2.
Very interesting.
So much talk about RG3, which is insane when you consider that the defense has given up 1,000 yards in the first two games of the season, but a lot of dramatics taking place in the nation's
capital. And we're going to talk about RG3 because that's what we've been talking about all offseason. So it merits itself. He talked about it. Shanahan talked about it. So it's going to be a discussion. The one thing I'll say, I would have been completely content. Not that my opinion matters here, but I think most people, a lot of people would have been content if Griffin didn't play the first 4 weeks of the season and they go into the bye week 2-2 under Kirk Cousins, because I think they could beat two of the teams with Kirk Cousins as their quarterback. They come into week six with an RG3 who's had an extra month to heal with still a legitimate shot at the playoffs. Now, it doesn't answer the question about the defense, but I think that like last year in those seven wins they ripped off at the end, the defense was inspired by what the offense was doing.
It's a really good point.
Can the Dolphins be set up any better for their first home game coming into Sun Life Stadium and facing a team maybe not bringing in, 20% of their weapons?
This Falcons team, though,
I know they're still dangerous. They are.
And you talk about the statement game. Is it a statement within the locker room? Like you said, it makes guys believe, but whatever. From a community standpoint, I think that people underestimate what a win against the Falcons would really mean, though. I don't know that people respect the Falcons.
It means a lot. I think it means a lot inside that locker room, too, because, like I said earlier, this is a team that's got to believe that it can win.
Yeah.
And got to believe that every week you go out, no matter who you're playing, that you can beat that football team. And by going on the road and beating Indianapolis, if you can come home and you can beat a very, very good Super Bowl-type caliber Atlanta Falcon team, all of a sudden your confidence swells inside that locker room. And now you're starting to walk around with your shoulders back, believing that every stadium I walk into, whether it's mine or yours, we got a chance to win a football game.
And here's the kind of win this will be if they get it. It will be one of those close, big-time, morale-raising, fan-chanting as they leave the stadium kind of wins. It's going to be that kind of game for these two teams. And if Ryan Tannehill can come up clutch in the end, or Brent Grimes can make a big play in the end off of Matt Ryan, that is a morale-building win right there.
Great stuff. Jeff Darlington of the NFL Network joins us every Tuesday during the season. Coverage around the league presented by Coventry Healthcare. Get the healthcare coverage you need and get more out of life. We've got you covered. Coventry Healthcare. Jeff, appreciate it as always. We'll take a break. Come back.
Cuffs or no cuffs?
Do a little chat choice when we
come
back.
No cuffs.
No cuffs.
Come on, man. It's 2013.
Straight leg.
Cuffs are a little classy.
Played in the 80s.
It's all right.